Lord, I will give you praise. Thank you for tonight. We give you glory, we give you honor. Thank you for this privilege of being before your presence. We are grateful for this help. Make demands that today and tonight you will perfect what you have started, conclude your work in our lives in this season, and within this period of time that you have set. And you will also glorify your name, mighty God. We give you praise. Be thou exalted. Be magnified. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you. Thank you, Adonai. For in Jesus, whose precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe that everyone here can hear us, and then our transmission doesn't seem to be breaking. I believe it is so, Peter.
Yes, sir, it is clear. Very clear, sir.
We give God praise. I want to celebrate and appreciate everyone that has been here all through this period since Friday that we've been gathering here from the hours of 7:30. And I know that has been an experience for each and every one of us. I know that none of us is going to leave here the same way we have come, and we're already being transformed. I've always advocated that we hear the things that we say every time we start. We start with a level of admonishment and exhortation to take very seriously the things that are being said. If you would play with anything in this world, not the word of God. If you would play with anything in this world, not the word of God. The prophet Ezekiel was caught up in a vision. In Ezekiel chapter 1, if you begin here from his book, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, he says, I was by the river Cheba amongst the captives, and all of a sudden I saw visions of God. Behold, the heavens opened. If you continue, to read in his book, you see that he had an encounter with the throne of God, and right there he had an encounter with the cherubims of glory. Right? Now, in Ezekiel chapter 2, when he saw the presence of the glory of God, naturally, the response to the presence of the glory of God and the revelation of the glory of God is that he invokes worship in the heart and on the inside of the beholder. The presence of God's glory always invokes worship in the presence of the beholder. So naturally, he was cast down on his face, taking a posture of worship. And then God said to him, he said, Son of man, stand to thy feet, that I may speak with thee. It was an instruction. At that instance, God wanted to communicate with him, and God demanded, respected him to attain to a particular posture. Now, once the word of God came to him and he heard that word, the word stood him up on his feet. And that's the way he put it, says, and the Spirit entered into me as he spoke to me, and I stood up. So that word was a verb, and it was a really not just a verb in terms of its part of speech. It was a verb indeed, such that the verb made him to execute an action. The verb made him to come into a demand. What it means is that the word of God that you receive becomes a doing agent on your inside. It becomes a doing agent on your inside. The word of God that you receive, it becomes a doing agent on your inside. And all of God's works are products of his word. What that means is the word of God is entirely significant. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Tonight, we want to proceed on a journey tonight. which is going to wrap up in this respect, the journey we began from Friday. We, by the gift of God and by God's grace, are taking the time to explore and to expound to us certain mysteries as it pertains to unfoldings. Listen to what we began to say yesterday, that the word we are sharing to you is a word in season. Is a word in season. A word in season. What is a word in season? A word in season is a word that is specific and precise to the agenda of God in the present time. The Apostle Peter calls it the present truth. That is the present revelation of the word of God. And it's indeed a word in season. Where we went to seek God at the end of the year, as it is always our custom to do, well, what will be the word for 2024? What posture do we attain to? Right? We began to have a deluge of words coming and insight. But specifically and particularly came the deep insight and access to the mystery of the word. And through to that, deeper into the context of what we are looking at, which scripture refers to as the Logos. The Logos in the translation of the English language is referred to as the word, right? But originally it's called the Logos within the context of the source language, right? And so he began to speak in the direction of the Logos. And those words began to flow. We have entered into an era of the Logos. We have come into an era of the Logos. You know, if we say the word, it's very easy to misinterpret it, especially because of the level of, can I use the word, ambivalence, or level of plurality that is associated when we use the word in quotes, right? But see, we have entered into the era, an era of the Logos, an era of the Logos. We have come into a season of the Logos. It is an era of the Logos. Well, what in the world does this mean? And so, journey upon journey upon journey upon journey upon journey to receive and comprehend, understand the details of the word that is coming, right? To receive the tablets of mysteries. Well, was granted and still is being granted, and we were directed or not given that opportunity to unseal it until such a time. What you have learned Friday and Saturday is trying to introduce you to a concept and a context. And to the measure of understanding that we have already attained to already, when we go back to listen again to the things that you have heard, you will grow again in the progressive understanding of this. Hallelujah. And that is the counsel to someone already, that the audios will be ready within the week. By Tuesday, they should be ready. And the links to download them will be sent to you. Download and listen again. But we have learned a great deal. On Friday, we began the word by talking about the era of the Logos. And we did go on a level of journey in that regard on Friday to understand here and there by God's grace. Now, yesterday we talked about understanding. So you see that yesterday gave more environment and insight to the tablets that we have received on Friday. And as we began to say yesterday, that of course one thing remains. That is what we should pay attention to. So I want to show us tonight, as we round up in this gathering for this weekend, conclusively, if you may, on the Logos, insight, purpose, and the mystery. It is not grammar. It's just how to caption it so you will see. Praise the Lord. We didn't see a lot of things yesterday. Yesterday, we took a journey around some of the understandings of the Trinity, of the Godhead. And we showed us from scripture of the El Shaddai, Jehovah himself. And then we talked to us about the El Ruach, or the Ruach Elohim. And then we showed us the revelation of the Logos. We described not exhaustively, but as it concerns our journey and discussion, functionally roles that these manifestations of the Elohim each bears. And we said the Holy Spirit, amongst other things, is the life-giving spirit of the El Shaddai, Jehovah himself, right? The one who causes to be. And also we said the living force and efficacy. An efficacy of his essence, right? We refer to the El Shaddai as the Abba, the source of all things. And then we did all of that to give us insight. There's a lot of function of the El Ruach that Jesus himself revealed. He called him the Aros Parakletos. That is the Greek for the Comforter. And anybody who has done a little bit of study in the Holy Spirit knows it means Comforter, Counselor, Intercessor, Advocate, Helper. And basically seven meanings of what it means to be a paraclete, according to the Greek word that Jesus said. He said, I'm going to send you another paraclete, an Aros Parakletos. That's what it means. So all of those are still functionaries of the Holy Spirit within the eternal Godhead, right? And then from there, we now said, what about the Logos? And we rounded up or near about the end to see that the word Logos is the mystery of God. And we use a lot of scriptures as it was possible within the time that we had to show us this, where the scripture says, and it pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell in him. Right? God, it pleased God that the fullness of all should dwell in him. In him, all things consist. That is the Logos himself. Further on, Paul taught us and said that in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is the completeness, the innate detail, like we said that mathematicians would like to use. That is the detail to every term that we cannot know. The innate detail of the Godhead consists inside of him. And we showed us that due to their levels of their apostolic revelation, Paul would use Christ Jesus. But John's insight talked about the Word. So John would use the Word, the Logos. He said, in him, in Christ Jesus, is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ Jesus, like we saw yesterday, is the mystery of God. So if within the functionary of the Godhead, we have the source of all things, the Ruach Elohim and the Logos is the one that God put the mystery. He is in him is the mystery of God. He himself is the embodiment of that mystery. That is why the scripture says is the mystery of the Father. Do we understand? The Logos is God's mystery. That is why you see that. We did a lot of showings yesterday. Please, if you are just coming today, just get the audios, right? Remember, we showed us that how all things were made by him, and the very authoritative decree that stated that without him was nothing made that was made. So all things were made by him, right? All things were made by him. The Logos is the mystery of God. Now, why is God showing this? We like to discuss purpose a lot, because where there is no purpose, meaning is lost. You know the couple are saying that when the purpose of a thing is not known, there will always be abuse. There will always be abuse. So why is all this shown to us? Why would we seek to know the word of God and then we begin to find a season of the logos? What is that? Right? What is that? Mind you, we have always said, not for a sure what. So why, what is this? Why the season of the logos? This is it. The logos is the mystery of God. One of the things that, and now we have moved, pay attention now. One of the things that God has made us to understand, we have said this severally all through the years and through the meetings that God by His grace has helped us to call and to gather, we have taught and said that the generations of God that be now, they are a generation of the mysteries of God. That is, they are the generations of the mysteries of God. If you have not learned this, you should know it now. The generations that be now, they are the generation of Christ's mysteries. That is why, of course, if you are observant and if you watch the dealings of God, you will see that there are a lot of mysteries by God that are available in this generation, more than it has ever been in time past, right? This generation are the generation of God's mysteries. We have thought this before, the generation of God's mysteries. But with the scripture begins to reveal, and according to our insight and revelation from God, the mysteries of God, they are contained in the logos. It's a generation of mysteries already established. This generation is a generation of the mysteries of God. They walk with the mysteries of God. They walk with the signs of God. Right? Those are mysteries. But the mysteries of God are in the logos. My God. The mysteries of God are in the logos. The mysteries of God are in the logos. Therefore, for this to be, that the generation of mysteries will be mysteries indeed, they have to be an unveiling and a reintroduction to the person of the logos. My God. That is, the generations will be introduced to the person of the logos. And see that His revelation must be precise. There's a revelation of Jesus. God can reveal Himself to you as healer. God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 6, He said to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, I revealed Myself as El Shaddai. That is the mighty God. Right? I revealed Myself as El Shaddai. Said, but by My name, Jehovah, I was not known to them. By My name, Jehovah, I was not known to them. So we have the revelation of God. And how God reveals Himself to you determines how you can walk with Him, because that revelation becomes substance and life. So you can have the revelation of Jesus Christ as your healer, and then you begin to walk in His healing power. You catch the revelation of Jesus Christ as your deliverer, your redemptor, your savior. And the first revelation of Christ Jesus that every one of us is being introduced to by reason of salvation and new birth is that He is your savior. And so, savior, hear my humble cry. And there is the revelation of God as your preserver. The more of these revelations of God you are able to attain to, the more of the reality of God you can walk in. And so every doctrine of healing and seeing Christ as your healer He's trying to bring you to the place where you can walk with Christ as the one that heals you. The revelation you have determines the walk of God you will enjoy. And really, the ancient fathers, they picked up a lot of revelations of him. Right? And that's why you see they gave God names. Jacob was the one that called the place where he sought God Bethel. He said the face of God. And so forever, Jacob walked before the face of God. And all his ways were before him. So, the generation is a generation of mysteries. But there is still something attached to this. Notice that Paul's revelation is very profound when it comes to understanding Jesus as the Christ. That is why you see abundantly through his epistles, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, the Christ. You see, arise, O thou that sleepest, and awake from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That is the revelation of Christ that is very profound in his life, because as we already knew from ancient, from his younger days, his major dispute when it came to the matter of the Son of God was that he was not the Christ. So God had to convince him very well on that level, that it became one of the pillars of his insight. And that's why he talked about in Galatians that the gospel I preach came to me by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He didn't just say Jesus, he said Christ. But John had that insight of Jesus being the Word. And you could see that insight consumed him. It wasn't enough for him to say it once in one book. He had to say it again in another book and continue to refer to the Son of God as the Word. His objective was that the people that hear me should catch that insight. And he really hoped they did, which was why it was re-emphasized. Like he said, reputation is an indication that there's emphasis here. The generation is a generation of mysteries. To walk with the mysteries of God. Walk in the mysteries of God. By the mysteries of God. But wait, the mysteries of God is contained in the Logos. The Logos is the mystery of God. Therefore, there will have to be an unveiling of the person of the Logos. You have known Christ before, but you will have to see Christ now as the Logos. You know Jesus as Savior, as Healer, Comforter, Deliverer, Friend. But you will have to see him as the Logos. And as what? The compendium of the mysteries of God, of the eternal Godhead. He is the mystery of God. The Logos is the mystery of God. The generations that be are a generation of mysteries. So they will have to be introduced to the person of the Logos. It's not like they don't know Christ. They do. But this time they have to see Christ as the Logos. It's a progression of revelation. It's the person of the Logos. You will have to see him as the Logos. So, seeking him, what will be in the times that is? What will be in the time that is? And he said, the era of the Logos, the season of the Logos. It's not grammar. It's emphasis that the Christ must be seen in this revelation that he is the Logos. And that Logos is the mystery of God. Therefore,
the generations that be, who have been identified as the generations of the mysteries of God, that will walk with the secret things of God, they will have to have a renewed revelation of the Son of Man, of the Son of God, and they will have to see him as the Word of the Father. I showed us that this is so important and significant that in Revelation chapter 19, when he came from heaven, that he may judge the earth with his sword, they said, and he had a name, and it was called the Word of God. That is from heaven. The identity he brings from heaven is that he is the Logos of God. This understanding of Jesus, the angels may not really comprehend when they say Jesus is the Savior. Of course, they do in their, maybe like in an intellectual way. But when it comes to the experiential dimension, they do not know what it means for Christ to redeem, because they don't need redemption. They know what it means for Christ to save, because he didn't save them. He's not their Savior. He's their Lord, he's their God, he's their Creator. But when it comes to knowing Christ, they know him as the mystery of the Father, out of heaven. Out of heaven. So when a saint walked on the streets of gold and he calls him Lord, Redeemer, Savior, the angels turn and who they see is the Logos, the mystery of God. Heavens opened up, and out of heaven they saw the Son of Man. And on him was written a name, and his name was the Word of God. Anybody that has walked in these dimensions already know that names spiritually are identity and description. And so when they say his name is light, it means he brings forth light. But here they say he is the Logos. Peter, come up, pray a little. Proto sedere la papa caskete de berete kesi brata kadash. Bratu kosekete le kotoskete de berete kesi kapala da baladas.
Sedon baran brata da balaba brande kito roso zozo do boro bobo dias. Ambra kapapa ambre sobrente pelembra soko braga da balagalia. Incolembro sobro. Ah, Bramba Balam, Bran Shamena, Cambre, Broton, Zebe de Belebedia, Incolebrega de Bedeberega de Bele de Berega de Bele de Berega de Bele de Berega de Bele de Bo, Rababam, Rababam, Borom, Boros, Zebe de Beledebia, Ancambron, Sovret, Biazzo, Erama, Mambron, Shebelega de Belegedia, Incolebrega de Belega de Berega de Belegedia, Rabam, Rababam, Bro, Zebe de Belegedia, Ambro.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I believe you can hear me.
Yes, sir.
The era of the Logos. I mean, we are seeking transition into a new year. What and the era? Who gets that? What kind of, what's it? The era of the Logos. Season of the Logos. Now you know why. Because it's a generation of mystery. It is a revelation you have to attend to. It's an insight you must reach. You have seen him as Lord and Savior. You must see him as the Logos. You must see him as the Logos. Why? Generation of mysteries. You must see him as the Logos. You must see him as the Logos. You must see him as the Logos. Why? We have come into a generation of mysteries. the teachings that show that we are in a generation, we have come into a generation of mysteries, are abundant on the platform. Now, what is entirely now the necessity and the significance of all of this? Listen, the generation of the mysteries of God hinges on these mechanisms that we are bringing by God into our inside, our sight, bringing us revelation from God. Now, we were talking about the function of this network, right? And we pulled it out yesterday, and that is the description. So we are going to take that description again. We have always taken time to say that this network, right? It's not like, okay, let's do something. No. We were out of touch for many years. Well, really, yes. Right? The insight to pursue. And so while in those seasons, like we have always said, another realm of light began to occur within the same month of June. From the 22nd, from that, about that last week, it shifted to another level. And then it spilled into July, beg your pardon, referring to July, into August. And right there in August, that flash of light came. And that's what conceived this network. The same way the descriptive identity of the network came, that's the name it's still bearing. It's a network of the kingdom pertaining to all the earth. Now, in describing it, just in a nutshell, we put it there on the descriptions on the platform so that when folks come around, that they go to the description and try to find out what is this about. This is what you will find: a global network of the kingdom from heaven. Yeah, it's not on them. Didn't conceive it. According to the will and purpose of God, He willed it, and He willed it because He had a purpose for it. We're not there when He was doing the council and say, let's institute on the earth today. We are not in that council. It's within Himself. The way He said, let us make man, that's the way He took counsel within Himself. Now, according to the will and purpose of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, which He has proposed to be, this purpose is that in the earth, in these last days, the generations be brought together, and His will, what He wants, and His vision for their days be revealed to them. That is the purpose of this network, is that at every time where there is a gathering, the will of God will be unsealed, and then the vision of God will be projected. His vision for you and for your days. Look at what He says. Now, His vision for their days be revealed to them, and consequently, that is as a result of this will and vision being revealed to them, the unsealing of their divine destinies in Him. So you see that already in the description, we have mysteries there. The reason is because in the mystery of God, in the mystery of the Logos, that's where you will find your destiny. Your destiny, right, is a mystery inside the Logos. Oh, can you get that? All right. Your destiny, what God designed for you to be, as I formed that Daigahi, what I want Him to do, as written in His book, that book is inside the Logos. David said that, I come in the volume of the books as You have written concerning me. Right? So there is a Logos script of your life. When God numbered you and finished you and took a record of your days and designed, he he exported it into the Logos, or he created it by the Logos, and it is contained inside the Logos. The Logos, the person, this revelation you have to attain to now contains the details of your divine destiny. That destiny is a mystery. Which Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom of God. What that means is, when the mystery of the Logos becomes unsealed, right, then you begin to see yourself. You begin to see yourself. Why? Because your destiny in God is a mystery, and the Logos is the mystery of God. What it means is, you can't be apart from the Logos. You can't be separate from the Logos. You can't be anything apart without consulting from the Logos, because scripture revealed, without him was nothing made that was made. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Let me say to you, before you were born, you were a mystery in the Logos. He numbered your days and finished it. Sudalabaka Sheketabadabada. Some of you say, show us two scriptures. Show us two scriptures. Show us two scriptures. Now, listen, I'll show us two scriptures. We have a lot of them. Oh, I will recommend some modules at the ending if you want to have a founded understanding of some things we are saying. But let's use one example, maybe two, if we have the time. There was this man, a Hebrew man in scriptures, you already know him, the tribe of Benjamin. His name was Saul from Tarsus, right? Saul was instructed under a teacher known as Gamaliel, right? And he was trained to be a Pharisee. Pharisees are a group of people that are experts in the law of Moses. A Pharisee is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that the Pharisees evolved a public relations identity, that the concept Pharisees has now become attached with a negative connotation. But the Pharisees were not the bad guys of scripture. It's just that they evolved so bad that any Pharisee already has a stigma. You see, when people hear, you see politicians, there's always a general, rebuff towards when people are because of the identity and what they do. So, but the Pharisee basically is somebody who is skilled the law of Moses and knows the law, right? They were good Pharisees. Gamaliel was a Pharisee, and you see, he was counseling the other people that they should leave the apostles, that they shouldn't stop it. If it's God's work, it will succeed. And they will suffer if they are trying to stop it. If it's not of God, it will fail. Right? Nicodemus also belonged to those group too. He had a link with them. He was one of them. And so also was Paul. And Paul was an expert of the law. Or can I say, being trained under an expert as Gamaliel himself, he also was learned in the law. You can already see his credentials. He has touching the law blameless. That is, when the matter of the law is in question, you can't find fault in him. He was an excellent law keeper, and he comprehended the law, right? But growing up, he now saw that a particular sect, they were arising, they were calling themselves Christians, that a certain Jesus had come and had claimed that he was the Messiah, and because of that, a lot of people have swept after him, and they were all pursuing him to submit to him, and they were preaching all manner of heresies according to him, of course, right? So what does Paul do? Paul received authority from the laws that he would personally pursue these people and shut them down. It was zeal for the God of his fathers. Imagine your work is not to catch people that are breaking the religious law, but you went and told them, give me authority so that when I go, I have something to present. By the authority of this person on his scroll, I'm going to shut you down and imprison you, right? That was him. So that was his life, trained in the law. But if you follow this man's life down to when he was 50, you realize that the man that we knew when he was in his 20s in his 50s was a different person. Broken, the things that he was after, he became a foremost advocate for it. What happened to him? We will read it now. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's understand what happened to him. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's understand what happens to him. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's start from verse. Okay, where do we begin from? Okay, let's start from verse 1, then we'll go back again to look at the verses we have mixed. This is Paul sitting, chicken. He says, are we there? Please, if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and open that Bible so that we can be on the same page. Hallelujah. Okay, now, look at this. By which, verse 4 now, when you read, you may understand my insight. The word knowledge here is sumesis, right? He's talking about his insight. That's what it is. Some scripture, some translation will say insight. So it's not the knowledge you will pick and find in a book. He's talking about, so that's why he didn't use the word gnosis, which is a word for knowledge in Greek. Okay, he uses the word sunesis. Talks about an insight, an attainment by work to achieve and arrive at a comprehension. That's why you see that he called it my knowledge, my insight. If I don't know for whatever reason under heaven, but God chose to personalize that insight. He didn't say when you read him understand the, he said mine. So it's something he had received and he had made it to be his own. It was a possessive thing. That is my insight. I want you to ask, so let me ask you, I want to ask, do you have a my insight in Christ? When you read through the epistles of Paul, you can already see a similarity within the whole insight. Within the whole epistle, you see a similarity of consistency. That tone, that tenor of his epistles that you can always use to tell that this is Paul that can say this kind of thing, that is the environment of his insight. That is the life-giving life of his insight. We find the same approach with John, so that when you read the epistle and you are seeing they are referring to the word, calling Jesus the word, you see that it's John that used to write that kind of thing. He seemed to have that kind of understanding. That is why my insight. Right? So Paul said, my insight. I'm using the word insight now so that you will get it. The word knowledge there is not gnosis. It is talks about insight. It is sunemai or sunesis. Right? So he said, when you read, you understand my knowledge. Where? In the mystery of Christ. If John had written this, he would have said in the mystery of the word of God. But I've shown you the strong affiliation that Paul had and how much the revelation of Jesus as the Christ had gotten into him, right? So he said in the mysterion of the Christ. Now listen, he said my sunamah, my insight in the mystery of Christ. Now let's keep, because the verse 5-6 it tells us what that mystery is. I don't want to show what it means. Let's go to verse 7. Please follow the way I'm reading it. We'll come back to those places we didn't read. From 4 now, we go to 7. He said, of which I became. Put commodity. Let's hold it there. So, the stunemai he had found in Christ translated into a becoming. When you understand my insight into the mystery I have found, that is, I have been given an insight. So because I've been given, it's my insight, right? Now, because of that insight, I have become, of which I became. What that means is, the mystery of Christ is geared to bring a becoming. a transformation, a change of identity and destiny. What does that mean to us? Generation of mysteries. The Logos is the mystery of God. Insight into the Logos will give you access to the mysteries. Access to the mysteries will usher you into becoming. Now, this event of becoming is an event that will not happen unless you have been granted an insight or an access into the mystery. That is why he began by saying, when you read my knowledge and my insight into the mystery, it is through this insight that I have been made to become what? What? A minister according to the gift of God's grace given to me by the effective working of his power. The insight into the mystery of the Logos made it possible for him to become. What that means is the Logos being the mystery of God, the generation of mysteries. That's why they call them the generation of mysteries. It's because it is in these people's days that there will be the revelation of the Logos will come again. They will be given access to be unveiled to them, the insight to see the Christ as the Logos. The Christ shows that Jesus is the anointed, that's the Messiah. Christ is means the anointed. The Logos shows that Jesus is the mystery of God. And all of that mystery, without him was nothing made that was made, all of it pertains to that. Let's see Paul's story. So let's start from verse 1 again. Sorry, chapter 3, verse 1. Okay, let's go to verse 2. He said, indeed, if you have heard of the dispensation or the stewardship of the grace of God which was given to me. So he said, this is something that was given to him. Like mysteries are tangible. It was given to him. He said, when you read, you see that these things were given to him. He said, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. I told you the mystery is a doctrine of scriptures. He has used how many mysteries. If you read down through this chapter, you still hear mysteries again. He said, now that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. That mystery, the reason why he used the mystery, not just by which he, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. The mystery is talking about a central insight that governed his function and purpose for the rest of his life. That governed his function and his purpose for the rest of his assignment on the earth. That governed his function and his purpose for the rest of his assignment on the earth. The mystery. That is in verse 3 now. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge inside the mystery. My insight in the mystery. Talking about the mystery that was given to him by revelation. Now, this is a mystery. He goes further in verse 5 to say that, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. That is, this department of the mystery of the Logos of the world was concealed in generations. Which shows to us that there are ages that certain things will not be shown. And my God, we should talk at length about that. There are ages that certain insight and mysteries will not be shown because they are calculated for times and for seasons. They are calculated for times and for season. So he said, this particular insight and mystery, mind you, they had already started talking and writing mysteries from Moses. Moses had already said that this is the beginning. God created heaven and earth. That was a mystery. You can't know that if you are not having revelation. You can't write the things Moses wrote if you have no revelation. Right? So there was already the operation of mysteries in the Old Testament. But he said that this particular mystery was not revealed to the sons of men. Right. As it is now being revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Now, this is the upshot of the mystery. He said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. when this is insights, right? Is the entire gist of Paul's ministry. If you take this insight and project it, we will go for books. Thousands of pages of books have been written on just this summary description of his purpose through an insight of mystery. And it goes further to say, of which, by the purpose of this mystery, I became, according to the gift of God's grace, a minister. There is something that you should become. There is something that you should become by virtue of the reception of insight and access into the mystery of the Logos. And this is what this revelation is all about. Now, you can see that it goes progressively. You wouldn't have seen this part from Friday. You wouldn't have even thought about it from Saturday. But it's because you are growing. We are taking the time by God to use Friday and Saturday to bring to you and to bring you to a position where you can have revelation of the Logos, to have a deep processing of the person of Christ as the Word of God. Right? Right. Because in this place where the Logos will be revealed, then the access of mysteries, because he himself, in him is the fullness of the Godhead. There the fullness of the Godhead resides bodily. All fullness dwells in him. Christ, the mystery of God, the hidden wisdom which has been hidden from all ages according to the eternal purpose that God proposed in Christ. Let's see that same Ephesians. Let's read to verse 9. You see the usage of another mystery. He said, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Now look at this. He's telling us that God created all things through Jesus Christ. John is telling us that God created all things through the Logos. That is, I'm just pointing out to you that these are the same statements the apostles are making, but because of the revelation of God that has overwhelmed them, they begin to speak of it. So Paul will say it's Christ Jesus that God created it. But John will say, yes, it's Christ Jesus, but Christ Jesus as the Logos. Right? He said he created all things through Christ Jesus. Look at what he said now. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers, the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. You see, Christ Jesus. I told us about Paul's affinity for Christ, the revelation of Christ. The era of the Logos is that a synthesis, insight, and revelation will proceed. The objective is for men and women that come from the generation of mysteries to have access to the mysteries and by so become. Listen, your destiny is a finished work in Christ. There is something God wants you to do. It's not something that God is inventing as you proceed. It's not something that God is discovering as you grow. It's something that God has fixed and ordained already. He's only bringing you through it in seasons and gradually. Which is why David said, I come in the volume of the books as it is written of me. I have come to do your will. The will of God concerning you is an insight at the mystery in the Logos. That is why they say that the mystery of God's will is revealed in his word. You see, when it comes to the matter of the will of God, the first thing they will teach you or you'll be taught is that the will of God is revealed in the word of God. Why? The word of God is the expression of the Logos. We are going to talk about Logos expressions as God helps us. The scripture is the expression of the Logos. We have the person of the Logos, we have the expressions of the Logos, the manifestations of the Logos, right? You find the will of God revealed in it. It is in that manifestation of the Logos that the Rhema comes. The Rhema comes as a manifestation of the Logos because the Logos is alive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, the Logos is alive and powerful. So, what is this now, therefore? There is now a generation of the mysteries of God. These generations will be reintroduced to the Christ to as the Logos, the Word of God, the Logos of God. They will have that revelation of Him as the Logos. Because in that revelation of Him as the Logos, He is the mystery of God. Right? There are three that bear witness in heaven. John said, taught us, the Father, the Logos, and the Spirit. And these three are one. Right? Father, will give you praise. What is this? I want to show you something, and this is how we begin to proceed into the conclusion of tonight. I want to show you one of my access into the mystery of Christ. You know, Paul said, when you read, you will see my insight in Christ's mysteries, so that you can benefit from it, right? So I want to show you one of my summesis, my insight into the Logos, so that those to us whom it pertains, we can benefit from this insight, right? Because we have shown you the principles and as well the details of the principles. Now we want to show you de facto, in practice, this. So I want to show you by God, our own insight in Christ, in the midst, in the Logos' mystery, that by grace we have been given to. The insight. Of Christ's wisdom. Just tag it like that. Where you are, pray on your own, where you are. We were in that journey and we found Colossians chapter 2. You see that I'm showing you an insight of the Logos from the Word, from the expression of the Logos, the Word of God, because it's true. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. If you have a scripture, pick it up. But I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. Colossians 2, verse 1. And for as many have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God. Do you see that? The mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. In whom, pay attention now, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. From this, I realized that this is a prophetic. Just pay attention. Don't miss when the illumination will happen. You miss it, you just hear my English. You know? The insight, the work. Insight and illumination is an encounter. It happens. If it didn't happen to you, we hear it, we still be, we won't get, right? So, be sensitive and catch the insight, the synesis. The scripture Paul was reading in his time was the same scripture that everybody was reading, but he caught his weaknesses by the operation of God. So pay attention.
in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. From here we saw that in the Christ and in the Logos, there are hidden things. And right here in these hidden things, they are treasures of wisdom. All of these treasures of wisdom, they are hidden in the Logos. They are hidden in the Logos. It is through apostolic revelation that Paul could say this. Nobody could write in exact terms without a precise revelation. After Paul had worked with Christ for a long period of time, for years, and had grown in insight and revelation, in writing to the Colossian church, he in person revealed to them that in the Logos are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. Mind you, he was starting from verse 2, the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom. So he's referring to this mystery of God, the Logos we are talking about, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. So there are such a thing as treasures of wisdom. They are contained inside of the Logos. And God's word came to us that there is deposit and access for wisdom that we and can be granted once a man is able to stand in the place of posture to access the hidden things inside of the Christ, inside of the Logos himself. One of these is the treasure of wisdom. This treasure of wisdom is not an impartation that comes by an education of man. It is an impartation that comes by the operation, first of all, by the release of a gift of a spirit on a man and on the man's heart. That spirit operates and begins to quicken him to another level of perception. This is one layer of the normal boundary of operation of human logic. The spirit comes and moves him far above the level of ordinary folks, the contemporary, because of the superior operation of that logic. Listen. Wisdom at the end of the day is the sequence of the operation of the gift. And this operation is traceable to a divine system. How can I make this clear? There is superior insight. Listen, what you know of wisdom is that a man gives quotes. He has wisdom. No, that's not it. The man has read a lot of books. He understands a lot of things. That's not it. Solomon went to sacrifice to God and he offered a 1,000 burnt offering. And then God appeared to him and said, ask me what I'll give you. And Solomon said, give me wisdom. And God said, I have given it to you. That's a cool story, but watch. He said, give me. And God said, I will give you. So it is something that God gives and something that God withholds. And it's something that a man has and something that a man doesn't have. You can read all the books in creation and go to all the school under heaven and then still not have the wisdom. It's a haveable thing and a non-haveable, that is a non-haveable thing. You can have it at the same time still not have it. So let me ask, do you have it? It's not faith. Well, of course, faith is cool, it's good. With faith, you receive, right? With faith, you have access to. But that faith is to give you access.
is to give you the access. Like we have said, faith is applied in the direction of God's will, God's principle, God's mechanism, not against it. So Paul is saying to us here that there is hidden treasures of wisdom. So these are tangible things, substantial realities that are all contained inside of the logos that can be given to a man and cannot be given to him. That is to be withheld from him. Peter spoke companion Paul that according to the wisdom that has been given to him. So Peter understood that a wisdom has been given to Paul. And then we saw it, that there is the treasures of wisdom. Now, when we saw this, you know, we stopped at, we didn't, that's all the whole scripture we have read, wisdom. There is a will in Christ, a will in the Logos, a desire in himself to reveal himself. The Bible says that he is the wisdom of God. There is a will inside of the Logos to reveal himself. And there is access inside of him to grant treasures for wisdom. This is not the wisdom that you will show that you have, when you speak, they will say he has wisdom. This is a tangible wisdom that will show in a coordination, in a substance, in a delivery. And this wisdom will be shown through the productivity of your intellectual faculty, your mind, the results that will be produced. Listen, the wisdom of God will come into your heart and educate and instruct your mind and your thoughts and give birth to a substance. Listen, spiritual things are conceived in the hearts of men and they are bettered by an actual work. This wisdom in Christ Jesus, in the Logos, will be given when that access is granted, because he said they are hidden. Once the access is given, a treasure of wisdom will be given. Note that once the treasure of wisdom is given, it's a tangible asset and a deposit. It is something you didn't have before, but all of a sudden you started having, or you now have. Because you now have, there's something you couldn't do before, but now you can do. There's an individual you were not before, but now you are. And there's an individual you were before, that by reason of the gift, you are not that individual anymore. In whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom. This is just a holistic stuff. We are not entered into the essence of it. That's why we have not read all the scripture. We are giving you a brush of at least details of the overview. We're giving the overview in details. There is treasure. There are treasures of wisdom in the Logos. In your days, if together with the assignment that God gives to you, if you are able to, there is the generalistic wisdom that the scripture instructs. When people read the scripture, it makes them wise unto salvation, it makes them wise, gives a wisdom. But this is not just the general wisdom that the scripture gives when we study the scripture and apply ourselves. The scripture is a book of wisdom. This is specific, definite wisdom that once given to you, it brings a production, it produces. Bible says wisdom is justified of our children. This is the wisdom that has children. It shows in works. It shows as results. They are hidden inside of the wisdom, inside of the Logos. Now, don't think you can conceive or imagine it. Something that is hidden and concealed, you can't know it until it is revealed. In Christ are hid the treasures of wisdom. Once these treasures have been identified by God, one after the other, and by the grace of God, we have sort of numbered some of these treasures. This is not the time to begin to unveil these hidden treasures of wisdom, that we know what it talks about. This is not the time, or that you know what they are, I beg your pardon. But here you are again to see that in the Logos, they are hidden treasures of wisdom. Tangible deposits that are havable and you can walk in. Tonight, and this is the purpose of this insight, many will live here with an asset and an insight into the hidden treasures of this wisdom. In the name of Jesus. Furthermore, many will walk live tonight having received the word of the era and the season of the... You will live here tonight finally fulfilled and established in the journey of having the revelation of the Christ as the living word of God. And the word was made flesh. He dwelt amongst you. That is the living word of God. In Greek it means the Logos was made flesh and he dwelt amongst us. If you have heard everything that has been said tonight and you will walk with it, and the last part of what was just shared in part, in a measure, and you apply yourself to it. Like Paul, you will have a synesis in the mystery of Christ, and it's only a matter of time. You will now become the identity of that revelation. It is a new season. It is an era of the Logos. What does this counsel us therefore to posture ourselves as? Or to posture ourselves? You seek the Logos to find the revelation of his mysteries. He will reveal himself to you in his word. He will reveal himself to you through his word. Through his word. Through his word. He will reveal himself to you through his word. He will reveal himself to you through his word. Because the word of God, the scriptures, is an expression of the mind of the Logos. Because the Logos is alive and is a person who possesses a mind. The scripture is an expression of the heart and the thinking in the heart of the Logos. The thought process to the Logos. Father, I give you grace. If you are equipped with these mysteries, therefore, you can do many things. Father, will give you grace. Begin to now ask God, Lord, I thank you for access. Grant this access. I thank you for access. Begin to pray wherever you are. I thank you for access. Grant this access. 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 Thank you, Mighty. In Jesus, with precious name we are praying. Hallelujah. The assembly never really ends, because the assembly is actually begins seasons. Assembly begins seasons. The assembly begins seasons. Right? We've had meetings where after the meeting people go and continue and have, it's not new, just it's consistent. They go and then they have the vision of the meeting continuing in their dreams, in their revelations. And then we are appearing there and teaching them things that... So it begins a new season. We've had assemblies that ended today and still continue for 1 week again. We just caught up in the realms. And the impact and the influence, the meeting still continued. So someone is okay, the meeting... No, the meeting just started in your life. Because it doesn't bring you to an end. It brings you to a beginning. It brings you to a height, right? So this is not just a, this is not, okay, we is not at the point to now departure soon. They're like, okay, we have departed from the meeting, we have broken camp. No, it's a release now to continue. The things that you have seen and heard, you are to now continue in this way. Now continue in this light. Because Satan comes, because the devil comes, the enemy comes to steal the revelations, the insights. But it will not happen to you because we will give you the word, the audio, so that you can be listening and listening to. But the insight is not just the physical word you hear, it's the experience that occurs. So at times when you lose touch with divine realities, you can just be hovering about the letter. You now, that is the letter that kills you because you have you have lost touch, you can't find where the spirit is at. Right?
Yes, sir.
So the assembly is, no, we are not breaking camp now so that you can go and just, it's for you to go to work. It's for you to go and seek and find the revelation of the Logos through scripts and begin to learn and to pray and to fast and to set thy heart to seek the God of your fathers. Listening to the audios and the insight from God, then the dew from heaven, insight begins to build your spirit and then you begin to have direction. You are a step ahead of a few that you now have the insight that you are in the generation of mysteries. And you already know the gateway and the pathways, the gateway, the source of the mysteries, and how to interact and relate and interface with the source. What will you now do, dear? Shake it on the head of us. Leave here with a light tonight. In the name of Jesus, shake it. Wherever you are, just lift up your hands like this in faith to connect with the flow of grace that is about to flow here. Just stretch out your hand wherever you are. If you can, with your eyes closed. If you can't keep your eyes closed, it will be perfect. Right? If you can't keep your eyes closed, with your hands stretched in unity. So wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. Some of you, with that hand lifted, you begin to sense a grace, like an electric power flowing through your palms, and flowing through you already from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, overwhelming you. That's the power of the Holy Ghost, the only one. By virtue of being gathered and being joined in this assembly tonight, Paul spoke about the gift of the grace by the which he was transformed to become the individual he ought to be, ought to have been, by reason of the mystery that had been granted to him. With that hand lifted, making contact with the Spirit in unity and in faith in agreement with his glory, I decree grace, fresh grace. Some of you already have access to the mysteries. Some of you already have access to the mysteries. It's not going to be going to seek for access already. You already have access to the mysteries. It's to begin now to take up the mysteries, to assimilate the mysteries, to absorb the mysteries, to pick it up and take it up, to pick it up and take it up. Some of you now have it. Receive fresh grace again. Receive fresh grace again. Fresh grace again. Fresh grace again. Fresh grace again. Grace to walk again in genuine spirituality. Not lukewarmness. Not half-baked. Not a two-bit like the world and then only a child of God in the church. Grace to stand in genuine spirituality. In speech. In words. In deeds. Genuine spirituality. Genuine spirituality. Genuine spirituality. Grace to stand firm. No more bowing to pressure of sin or weaknesses. Receive the strength of grace to stand firm. Receive that grace. In the name of Jesus. I decree the lightning of perception. The lightning of perception. He said, the spirit of mine is the candle of the Lord. The lightning of some of you, there's going to be a quickening of your spirit unto perception. Quickening unto perception, you will perceive grace. Perceive grace. You will be perceiving out of the ordinary. the quickening of your perception, intensification of your perception, the sharpening of the reception of divine presence. In the name of Jesus. And I decree and I declare and speak to anyone bound or oppressed by the enemy, by the devil. I decree and I declare and I speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God. And I decree and declare, let this one go in the name of Jesus. Everyone and anyone whose life has been plagued with bondage, satanic and demonic bondage, harassment and oppression, in the name that is above every other name, I speak to you, demonic entity. Lose your grip and hold right now in the name of Jesus. And I decree,
amen.
Depart from this one. Depart from that one. In the name of Jesus. Everyone and anyone whose life has been influenced and manipulated by demonic agents, by the devil and spirits, altars and whatever altars and wherever these spirits come from, I decree they roast by the fire of God to descend upon them in the name of Jesus, to come upon those altars and their powers, and today to separate you finally in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that your tenure of dominion and authority over you has expired tonight.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We decree liberty. Go and serve the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Anyone who is held bound by it and by sin, or by a weakness that has kept you from fully serving the Lord, I decree you lose tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I say, Satan, let this one go. This one has gone to serve the Lord. You have no more hold over this one, and your argument over their life is overturned in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Anyone with a sickness and an infirmity in the body, whatever it is, medically diagnosed or just an experience and a feeling you are having, right now put your hand there wherever it is, and if it, you can't identify it, place your hand, but then put your hand on yourself just as a point of contact. I decree, there's balm in Gilead, and the word brings healing. It says, send forth his word and he healed. I decree right now the virtue of healing break all over you, bringing recovery now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Complete recovery now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The virtue of healing break all over you now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Bringing complete recovery now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every form of sickness and disease expire from anyone's life now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every trace of infirmity, affliction, inherited, ancestral, whatever it is, expire now from the life of these people in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Everyone and anyone's life tonight, where something is not working in their body, they may be born with it, it may have developed with time, or it may have been acquired at a point in time. Right now, I declare immediate recovery and recreation in the name of Jesus. Whatever is missing and ought to be in place, either through a restoration or a recreation, I decree tonight, restore, recreate in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will wake up tomorrow and find out that what was out of place is now in place.
Amen.
You will wake up tomorrow and realize that what was wrong is now right.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will suddenly realize, even right now,
amen,
that you are now okay, that you now feel better in the name of Jesus. And that, amen, consistent across over the crown of the head I decree that weight on the head taken off in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That weight on the head taken off in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, do we pray? That weight on the head taken off in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That weight on the head taken off in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That satanic deposit. That's deposit of the enemy retrieved and fired back to hell in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Decree and declare an explosive season of favor and grace in the name of Jesus. And so we decree and declare that it is done.
Amen.
Father, we give you praise. The insight is flowing, the grace is flowing. Light is being inserted. Light is flowing everywhere. Insight and grace is flowing. People are giving access. Proceed and receive grace. Go ahead, give him praise, thank him. Insight is flowing. There's a vibe, there's a presence, there's overwhelming all around you. That is the flow of grace. That is the flow of grace. That is the flow of grace. Go ahead, give him praise, give him glory. Go ahead, thank him and exercise yourself in the spirit. Father, we worship you. We thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name. Hallelujah.